Our New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 through 12. Listen for the word of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it might be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we're always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Gracious God, help us to hear your word this morning and to obey. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I need to start this with letting you know, yesterday was kind of a day for me. My wife, Kristen, who was in here just a minute ago, she was out all morning, or pretty much from 9 to 5. She was out doing a really cool thing that she's doing with as a doula in Grand Rapids. And that left me alone with our two kids. I'm a perfectly capable parent. I'm going to just let you know that up front. But it's a lot of work, and especially because I was trying to do other things besides keeping them from finding creative ways to off themselves or destroy the house, you know. There was an incident with water. I was exhausted by about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And sometimes, I think around 4 or 5, I started thinking, I have to preach tomorrow. Is my sermon going to be like remotely useful for this? Is it going to be related to this? Am I going to feel like a hypocrite? And actually, I wrote last night, whatever BS sermon you wrote is probably not going to speak at all to any of this, and honestly, it'll probably make you look like a hypocrite. And then I remembered what my sermon was going to be about, and actually, it worked out pretty well. So the line back there about treasure, ooh, that's not right. Where am I going? Up. That's where I'm going. The line in verse 7, we have this treasure in clay jars. It got me wondering, it got me thinking, what kinds of other jars would they have had, right? Because Paul makes the clay jars seem like they maybe aren't especially valuable. So I popped open Craig Keener's commentary. It's a really cool commentary that gives you a little bit of context on every verse in the Bible. And he said that clay is more disposable than, for example, bronze. Oh, okay, there it is. There's your other kind. So you'd have bronze containers. That might be where you'd put something really fancy that you want to show off. You'd put it in a bronze jar. And the New Testament, the word for jars, it's not really a jar. It's like an implement. It's sort of a catch-all. So if you have a fork or a spoon, that could be a whatever that Greek word is. If you've got a plow or something, it's a hickey, a thingy, a what's it? So it could be any of those things, but in this case, made out of clay. The New Testament also talks about gold and silver vessels, gold and silver things. So you might have something like that. And Craig Keener would say that the clay would be more considered kind of disposable. It's you just kind of, you toss that. If it breaks, you throw it out. And it's connected to the Old Testament passage. So if you have something unclean that gets on a clay jar, you throw it out. You break it. You destroy it. This is in the Bible. If a mouse dies and falls into your clay jar, you have to break it. True story. But in one sense, that means it's not incredibly valuable, but it also means actually it is kind of valuable because you got to tell people to break it. Like, oh, a mouse died in my clay jar. You know what? I think we can spray that out. Nope, you got to, the thing that was holding food, you know? You got to get rid of that. It means it's valuable enough you have to tell people to break it because they might be tempted to hang on to it. The thing about these clay containers, clay tools, clay things, is Romans 9 says that some of it was used for common use, everyday stuff, and some of it was used for special use. You know, it gets me thinking, because my wife, Kristen, besides being a doula, she makes pottery. And some of that stuff is fairly easy to make. Some of it is much more complicated. I heard a joke when I was a kid. You know the difference between a vase and a vase? It's about $500. So you can make valuable clay work. And people would occasionally put valuables in it. They've found clay jars with lots of coins, treasure in it. The Dead Sea Scrolls that they found at Qumran were also found in clay jars. So it's not. Craig Keener said that it's more disposable than your bronze jar, but it's not like plastic. You know, if you, oh no, I broke my plastic container. Whoops, you just throw it in the trash. You might feel a little more upset because actually pottery was a whole profession. Even further back than the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house. So it's a specialized profession. It's not super easy. I know this from Kristen. It's not super quick. The more you care about the project, the longer it takes and the more work that it can be. She went out, and I think it was Friday night, was throwing on the wheel, and her clay wasn't quite right. She threw 9 mugs and only 4 of them made it, and she's not sure about the 4. But the thing is, connected to all of this, is that God is imagined as a potter, as someone who makes things with clay throughout Scripture. Isaiah 64 says that God is a potter and humans are clay. And actually in Genesis 2, it says that humans were formed by God from the dust. And it's imagining God forming people like people might form clay statuettes or something, and then God breathes the breath of life into them. Humans are formed in God's image and likeness. And this is the thing. This is the part that connected with where I was in the morning, well, in the afternoon, with how exhausted I was. You ever know anybody who seems like they've got it all together? Who's just really solid as a Christian or as a person or something? You just go, that person, if anybody is a vessel for the glory and goodness of God, it's them. I have multiple people like that I just go, wow, those people, they're amazing. One day I'm going to be like them when I grow up, but I'm clearly not like them now. We might see them as gold or silver or bronze, something sturdier and better looking and longer lasting. But it turns out we have this treasure in clay jars. We might think of ourselves as the lower quality stuff, but God's extraordinary power is in us. In us, not the cool people. I mean, yes, the cool people too, but they're clay jars like we are. The commentary I read said that the Greek Stoics would have seen bearing up under suffering as a sign of strength, that the strong people, the bronze jars, they'd hold up better. But Paul saw it differently. For Paul, the treasure of the light of God in the face of Christ is in the clay implements, in the earthen vessels. The other thing about clay work, it's not perfection. Imperfections is what makes it valuable. It's always fun because Kristen will make something out of clay and she'll color it and glaze it. And when she's all done, she takes it to the kiln at the Krazzle, and she never knows exactly what's going to come out. She doesn't know exactly if the glaze is going to slide down differently or how it's going to work. It's not perfection. The imperfections are what makes it valuable and original. And I think that's us. We might think we can. Whenever Kristen makes a clay jar or any kind of art, the only thing that she noticed, we got any artists? The only thing she noticed is, I cannot believe that happened to that thing. I can't believe that it's that piece of messed up. And I think most of us are more aware of our flaws than the parts of us that are good and beautiful. But I think it's both that make us us. We're one of a kind. We're beloved by God, and we carry within us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I thought yesterday around 4 o'clock, yeah, that works. That works. That does speak into my day. And I know some of your lives, overworked, underpaid, unappreciated, and maybe not feeling very much like holy people at all. Not like a gold vessel or a bronze or silver, but you are one in whom God's light shines. You're one of those clay jars that contains an immeasurable treasure of the love of God in Jesus Christ, revealed not just in the way that your life works when you want it to, but revealed also in its imperfections. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for revealing the light of your love in our hearts as we are. Not the way that we think we should be, not just in the people that we think are better than we are, but in us. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.